We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chavi Yaakov Mevirchos Aliyah. We are in Bava Basra Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel. Hiniach Banim Gedolim Uktanim. You have a case where the father passed away and he has sons who are adults and sons who are under bar mitzvah. And the older sons use money from the estate in order to improve the estate. Hishbichu gedolim esanachasim. If they do so, hishbichu laemsa. We assume that the improvements goes in this undivided estate. The Bartanur says bitfusas habayis. That's what we call an estate before it's divided amongst the brothers. It's called tfusas habayis. So if they improve the using money from the estate, let's say to hire workers, Bartanur says sachru poalim hishbichu esanachasim achmasat. So then that shevach, that improvement is la'emtza for everybody. It's going to be divided equally, all the profits amongst all of the brothers. But Bartunur points out that that's only true if they are using the money from the estate in order to improve. Avalim chafru v'natu v'otzu mishalem, says the Bartunur. If they did the digging and they did the planting, or they spent money to hire people of their own money, not from the estate, in order to improve the estate. So mashe shbichu shbich latzman. So then any improvement goes to them and is not divided by all of the brothers. What about, says the Mishnah, umru re'u mashini achlanu abba. They go to Beis Din and say, see what our father has left us. This is the value of the property right now. Hare anu osim v'ochlim. We're going to do the work and we're going to improve it, and we would like to consume, literally to keep the profits ourselves and not divide amongst our brothers. If Beis Din gives them the green light, tishbichu l'asman, then that is so then that improvement is for themselves. If that's their intent and they say in front of Beis Din, and Beis Din does not object, so then this may be, and Beis Din may not object, because ultimately the estate is going to improve, and that may be productive as well for the other brothers also. So, but this in particular, that which they invest into it, mashe hishbichu la'atzmam, not la'emtza, and as long as Beis Din agrees to that. Then the Mishnah says, v'cheno isha shehishbicha es hanechasim, hishbicha la'emtza. A woman as well, who improves the nechasim, the estate of her husband who passed away, this is la'emtza, this is for everyone. Now, in what case, a woman usually does not inherit a chelik from her husband's estate at all. So what's the case is, the Bar Turner tells you, speaking about a case where Reuven and Shimon were brothers, and there are no other brothers in the family, and Shimon died, and he had three daughters, let's say Sarah and Shoshana and Sarit, and Reuven marries, let's say, Sarit. So a person is allowed to marry his niece, no problem with that. He marries his niece, and now Reuven dies without having children with Sarit. So who are Reuven's yorshim? His three nieces, the daughters of his brother, and his wife happens to be one of those nieces, one of those yorshim. There's no one else. His brother would have inherited him. His brother is, and there's no father. His father's not alive. So, and he has no children to inherit. So the nieces, who were his brother's children, and happens to be one of those nieces, is his wife, Sarit. They're going to, Sarit, Shoshana, and Sarah, they're going to divide the estate. And that's even in a case where the woman, his wife, says, you know, I'm going to improve the nechasim, and she does so. That's lamsa, because she's using the money from the estate in order to improve it. If she says in front of a Beis Din, like in the Reisha case, I'm doing this, I'm going to look what my husband left for me, this is the value of the estate, and I'm going to work it, hire workers, and I'm going to consume myself and the improvement, and I don't want it to be shared with my other two sisters, then Sarit does not have to share it with her two sisters, with Sarah and Shoshana. Because she said to the son of a Beis Din, maybe in front of Edim, and that is going to be acceptable. Why do we have to say the same halacha? We just said it in the Reisha. So we would have the Mefarshim explain that maybe we would think that when it comes to an almana, she wants to show that in order for her to remarry, she wants to show a new potential husband, Shidduch, that she can work on her own. And therefore, she benefits anyway from the fact that she is able to be Mashbeach, able to improve the estate, and maybe we would would say that when it comes to this woman, it's always lamsah. She's always improving at lamsah because anyway she benefits the fact that she is that she's now a candidate for marriage, especially because she has this quality that she has this work ethic and is capable of caring for the field. Nonetheless, we say no. If she says in front of a bezin, harayne osala ocheles, I'm doing this to myself. If they don't object, then hishbicha la'atzma. Perek tes mishnah dal. Ha'achin hashutafin shenafal achad mehen le'umanus. Here you have brothers, they're partners. This is still early on. They haven't divided the estate. It's what we call, again, tfusa sabayis. And one of them literally fell to umnus, to a craftsmanship. So the Bar Tura tells you what this means. It means la'avodas hamelech. This was to work for the government, for the king. They would hire someone from the city to be a tax collector for a month or two. And this person was chosen because his family was chosen, and this happens to be one of the members of the family that the government chose, the king chose this particular family. And this brother is now in charge. He's the umanos, he's in charge of the avodas hamelech. So if potentially making a lot of money working for the king, so nafala emsa, any profit that from the fact that he's getting paid to collect taxes, whatever he's hired to do by the king, since the king chose someone from this family, it's really a family job, he just happens to choose this guy to do it, it's not because of himself, so therefore it's nafala emsa. Artuna makes the following point. Why is it the whole revach, all of the profit goes la emsa? It's because of the father, really, of the family that this child, this son was chosen for avodas hamelech. But it's because of the son himself who is chosen, and because he's so sharp and he's so chashev the chachmaso and his great wisdom, then we assume it's going to be the profits are for him. Then the Mishnah says chalav nisrape mishel atzmo. We have a case where one of the brothers became sick, but he came sick because he didn't take care of himself. Bar Tanur says here the nisrape mishel atzmo. The Mishnah says, why do we say that he has to pay for his own medical bills and can't use the estate? Because we assume, the chalav nisrape mishasim means he became sick, depends on why. If you're going to tell me if it was chola ba'ones, he wasn't poshe, he wasn't negligent, then he is nisrapi mina emsa. But the case of the Mishnah is, what's nisrapi mishal atzmo, that's where he was. Bar Tanur says, chola mitzinim upachim. He doesn't take care of himself, goes out in the cold without a jacket. Ukayetze bohem, dechsev shomer nafsho pasuk mishle chav beis shomer nafsho yurchak mehem. You can guard yourself from that. It's one of the cases we say, kol hakol b'dei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim, the Gemara says in Ksuvos. So this is one of the things where Hashem says, listen, you have to do your shtadlis, you have to take care of yourself. It's cold outside, you have to wear a coat, and that's your responsibility. Don't think you're not going to get sick. I'm going to protect you from that. You're just not a smart person. So Baha'am Rinam Masnis, and that's the case of the Mishnah, says the Bar Tanur, De'eno Mistrape El Mishal Atzmo. But of course, if she got sick, it was bone, it wasn't his fault, so then he can be Mistrape, he can use the money from the estate. Ha'achin She'asu Miktsasan Shushvinus B'chayav. He will introduce the concept of Shushvinus. Shushvinus is where we have these are the groomsmen. And this was a real halacha that we assume that a person is has groomsmen for his wedding, and they're going to give him gifts. And then when those friends get married, he has an obligation to give gifts as well. The groomsmen would come to the not only bring gifts for the wedding, but they would come to the chuppah. They would come during Kurin Sheva Brachos as well, and he's going to pay them back eventually when they get married. So here we have a case where ha'achan sha'asu miktsasan shushvinus b'chaya'av. Some of the brothers were groomsmen while the father was still alive. That means some of the brothers, or one of them was sent by the father to be a shushvinus, to be a groomsman for someone else. And the father gave the money. Well, at that time he was alive, gave the money for whatever gifts that they were giving to this friend. Chazav shushvinus chazol emsa. Now, so money's coming back. Why? Because this person was sent by the father to give gifts, to be groomsman, to go to the wedding in Sheva Brachos of a friend, let's say. So now this person's getting married. So, and now there are gifts coming back to him. They don't just go to him. That's shared chazol emsa by the middle. That's shared equal to everybody. Because this brother who was sent, to this son who was sent out brother amongst the brothers was sent out by the father. He was just one of them. He said, one of you, I want you to go to be a Shushvinus. But let's see, he wanted someone in particular. So then he chose someone, selected someone in particular. So then it's not Chazal Emtzah. It comes to him specifically. Says the Bar Tanura, that's the case. Stam, one of you should go. And now, after the father dies, the gifts are coming back because someone else is acting as a groomsman for this family, for this particular person. It's like a loan. Sorry, Niglis, the based in Shushvinis gifts, money can be collected and based. And hey, I went to your wedding, I gave you gifts, you owe me gifts in return. But that's all if he didn't select anyone in specific. And then the Bar Tanura adds the following qualification. This is where the weddings are similar. So then we assume that the gift should be of the same value. In Besula Besula, in Alman Almana, depends on whether they get married to a Besula or an Almana. In Parhestia Parhestia, let's say it's in public. In Bitsin Bitsin, it's a more private wedding. The second person can say the first person. Has to be the same type of wedding, then I'll give you the same type of gift. So the Mishnah says again, some of the brothers, one of the brothers was a shushvinus, was a groomsman, chasal shushvinus, chasal emsa. Sheha shushvinus, nigbeis bebeisin, because these gifts for groomsmen are like loans, and they can be collected in beisin. Aval, the Mishnah concludes, hashaleach l'chaveru kade yayin kade shemen, let's say someone's selling his friend, he's sending his friend barrels of wine or oil, as a gift for the wedding, and it doesn't go to the wedding, doesn't go to the suda, doesn't go to the sheva brachos. So this is not considered shushvinus. Then these cannot be collected in beis din. This person who sent the gifts of wine and oil can't say to the other person, "Hey, I'm getting married now. I expect a gift in return." Why? The nation giving you the chasadim. In such a case, you didn't go to the wedding. You just sent gifts. This is considered chesed, and therefore cannot be collected in beis din.